Yes, in a Friday the 13th line, whatever has happened to you on that day, 818-817-0021. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie, and back to the phones we go. Wildcard line, it's your turn. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, welcome to the program, sir.
Hey, how you doing, George? Hey, I'm calling from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. My name is Alexander, and I listen to you guys on WHP 580 here.
Hey, Alexander.
All right, I got a question here, and I want to see if I can get some insight from you on this thing. There was an incident that happened. I live in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania now. This was about 3 or 4 years ago, back in 2003, 2004. My girlfriend and I, we were sitting on a porch. I lived on the beach in St. Petersburg, Florida. And I remember a while back, you guys had a guest on your show where he was talking about where the military or the government was working on these type of, I guess it was like insects, to like where they can use these type of insects to spy on people or create some type of, I don't know, spying device or camera. Well, I had an incident with my girlfriend and I. We were sitting on the porch, and we were just kind of just kicked back, drinking a couple of Coronas. She, I, and my dog, Connie, have a Cocker Spaniel. And this dragonfly, now, mind you, I live on the beach, and this dragonfly was, like, kind of buzzing around. I remember looking at my girlfriend saying to myself, it's kind of weird because, you know, like, first of all, we hadn't seen a dragonfly in a really long time. And I'm thinking to myself, why is this dragonfly flying around out here? This is a beach. This is, like, kind of, like, out of his environment. So it kept flying around, buzzing around, buzzing around. So before she had got there, I was doing a crossword puzzle. This thing kept really flying around, so I grabbed the crossword puzzle, and I swatted this thing. And when it hit the deck, I mean, this thing really hit hard. So my dog had started to go up to it when it hit the thing. I noticed that it was also kind of big to be like a normal-sized dragonfly. And when it hit, it started to smoke. Smoke came from this thing. So my girlfriend was like, what is that thing? I'm like, I do not know. So we go up on this thing, and I look at it, and I look at it really closely. Now, mind you, I have a friend who was a chemistry major.
Okay.
We looked at this thing, and this thing had – its legs were like retractable springs. That's the only way I can describe it. It's I picked this thing up. George, I kid you not. I picked this thing up. I took it in the house, and I sat it on my computer stand, on my desktop, is that. And I took this magnifying glass, and I looked at this thing, and this thing was not a dragonfly. This thing, its eyes were like lenses. I mean, like, I can't even
remember. Do you think it was somebody's little drone?
This thing, I can't really explain what this thing was. I mean, its eyes looked like miniature lenses or something. Its legs were like retractable springs, and inside of its actual body itself was like this green liquid stuff. I mean, and it had like this red glowing, like ball or something. I can't even explain.
Well, what was it, more machine or insect?
It was definitely a machine. But from like looking from where we were sitting at first on the deck, it looked like a normal dragonfly until I swatted this thing. And then the fact that it, like, its wings were like almost like see-through, and it had like these little, the only way I can describe it was almost like fiber optic on the inside. But what happened was I took this thing and I put it inside of a tin can. And what I did was, and I want to send these pictures to you guys' website.
Absolutely.
I took tons and tons of pictures from different angles of this thing. What I did was I took this whatever this thing was and put it inside this tin can and sat it on my desk. So later on that night, my girlfriend and I, we went out to dinner. And when I came back, my neighbors had come running up to me. And she said there was somebody at your house banging on the door.
No way.
And we thought, right, and we thought that, you know, you guys might want to know that because she basically knew who, you know, who came to my house, friends and family and whatnot. She said this guy got out, wasn't really suspicious about him when he got out, and he was banging on the door. Well, she said he just opened up the door. He went in. When he came out, he left with a tin can. So I thought it was kind of weird, like, okay, now this thing is missing. So I asked her, well, did he tell you who he was, or did he explain to you what he was doing? Why did he come in my house? Well, the camera, and luckily the camera I had the memory card. I had the memory card with me. I stuck it in my pocket because I had all the intentions of going to the store that was close by to develop the film. Well, my camera was smashed up and my desktop was smashed up. And there was a note that said, you saw nothing, you know nothing. So at the time, again, I said, you know, I was a student at University of South Florida, and I'm going here to Penn State here in Pennsylvania. But I got these pictures developed. I have them, and I would love to send them to you guys.
Send them to us. Lex at coasttocoastam.com.
Yeah, right. Because this thing, George, is weird. And also, if I can, real quick, whatever happened to JC?
Well, he's out there. I mean, whenever he calls, he calls.
Because I was pretty sure. I knew for a fact that this guy was definitely going to call in when Jesus Christ was on a couple of nights ago. I said, I wonder if JC is going to call in tonight. Because this would be like a perfect time for this guy to call in, and he didn't call in. And I was kind of upset about that.
Maybe he's in his compound somewhere.
Maybe so.
You never saw. Thanks, Alexander. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, good morning, George. It's sure a pleasure to speak to you.
Thank you.
I call you my friend because of all the nights that you've kept me company with headphones on after my wife had gone to sleep, and I couldn't just nod off. There's George keeping me awake.
It's an honor to be your friend. You know, you don't have to see people to be friends.
You know, exactly, and that's actually really truthful because I'm a blind man, and I hardly see anything. But I can hear them, but... But the funniest thing happened to me, and it keeps happening. Yeah, I'm a musician. I'm a banjo player, and I seem to come into a room when my wife is either watching a show or maybe whipping up a little snack for us in the evening or lunch, and all of a sudden she says, "I didn't see you. You were right behind me, and I just turned around and looked, and you were there." And the funny thing is, it seems that I can disappear at will. I haven't figured out how to do it yet because I'm trying to figure out.
So this happens, but you just don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. I'm far off in thought, you know, thinking about, wow, if just maybe the squirrels could learn how to know that the cardinals really want the food, or maybe the cardinals can just peck the squirrels and say, "Hey, get out of here! I want some food," you know, that, you know, or something like that. Or maybe I'm just thinking about I wonder if there are thunderheads up there, or are they cumulonimbus, or whatever. You know, as I notice that the sun fades because I might be on my patio and it's cloudy, or you know, a nice white puffy cirrus, whatever. But she'll look over at me sometimes, and she won't see me for a second.
That's weird.
Yes, it is, and it keeps happening.
Now, do you see yourself?
No, I'm just there.
Can you? Well, I know you said you're blind, but I mean, can you physically feel that you're seeing yourself? You know, like touching you?
No, I just feel just sort of. Just open in thought to what's going on. Not really.
It's like you move into another dimension or something.
Yeah, you know, maybe I do, and I'm not sure what's going on with that. But I was wondering if any other blind people have had that or anybody.
No, this is a first.
Well, that's interesting.
The fact that you disappear. That's what's so strange. And then you pop back up again.
Yeah, because I can walk right in front of the TV screen, and the television will still. Show she's a fan of Law and Order, as I call it. I'm sorry, folks,
but she can look right through you, basically.
Yeah, she can look through right through Law and Order and hear it, and you know, she doesn't even know I'm there. And I walk into the kitchen, and she just doesn't even know that I passed by. And yeah, that's strange. But I have another question too. Okay,
I'll try to answer it for you.
All right. Do you have an idea of what happened to that? That poor lady that you were teasing the other night, it was so funny. You were doing your market analysis, and I was laughing.
Oh, you mean when the engineer was checking the phone lines?
Yeah, that's what it was.
The
engineer
yeah.
was checking the phone line. Oh, George, you know, I want to say you're in the wrong business. You ought to be on stage somewhere. I think there's one leaving tomorrow.
Yeah, no, exactly.
You're really just a great host, and I just wish there was more technology for blind people that was able to talk. A friend of mine brought over a nice little 16-track Porter Studio made by somebody today, and I thought, whoa, it's going to take me 2 weeks and 10 friends to help me figure this out.
If they perfect the chip and they're working on it and they're experimenting with this, and it works in some small cases, but if they perfected a chip where they could implant it behind your eye and you could see or partially see, would you do it?
I'll tell you what, I'd apply for a producer of your job because maybe it was Tommy I spoke with. Everybody
yeah,
was
I was
so,
Tommy
so,
over there.
Well, thank you, Tommy, for being so friendly. And you know, it would, That's something, because I'm sort of in radio. I won't let any cats out of the bag. I don't even own a cat or a dog now. But seriously, I find it's hard when you have things on a digital screen. You just have to touch the song and you know it. And when I do my shows, I know it from what I've learned and years of studying the music, and I can do it. Remember who's on what CD and even vinyl. But that would be great, except I'm not sure if I want to drive these days from all the things that I hear about people doing. That probably, I guess, might not be able to with $5, $6, $7 worth of gasoline.
I've seen some of the worst drivers. You're lucky you're not driving sometimes.
But sometimes when your wife makes a little squiggly, you say, "Woo, what happened?" And
do you really want to know?
Yes, I do, because it seems like that. When she tells me, I learn to just think, "Oh, it's just somebody pulling out from the left-hand lane, backing up, making a U-turn." That's all.
When did you go blind?
Well, I had retrolateral fibroplasia. I was born in '59, and I was actually born at 6 months, and I did not have really. Let's say I had too much oxygen, I guess would be the way to put it, but. I walked and talked early, and I was a nut. My folks didn't know what to do with me, exactly. But I went to a couple of schools for the blind in Florida, Kansas.
So you basically were blind at birth.
Yeah, blind at birth, and I...
Well, let me ask you something. If I said to you the color blue, how do you describe that?
Well, I have very... very slight light perception and color perception when I was young, and blue reminds me of something sort of smooth. Now red reminds me more of sandpaper. Yellow, now that's just kind of yikes. But
you can't visualize what we see, the color of red or the color of green or blue. You don't know what that is, do you?
No, not exactly, but when I had light perception and a little bit of color perception when I was young, I could get an idea of what it was like, and it was almost more of a texture than more of a perceiving.
Well,
what it was.
Let me ask you this. If I'm going to say to you that the sun is very glowing, okay? It's glowing. Describe to me what that would look like to you, what color it could be.
I tell you the sun. Now, when I was younger, maybe it's just a perception. The sun, when I was younger, was more of a more pleasant feeling light, and glowing, and just kind of warmed you all over. Now it's just hot. I'm 49 almost now.
So colors to you are really sensual feelings.
Yeah. But it seems like maybe the sun feels different, but,
I was going to say to you, the sun's yellow orange, but that's not going to make any difference to you.
No, it does feel hotter in a strange way. My arm would seem to heat up faster if it was in the sun than it used to. Maybe my pigments change as I've gotten older.
No, I think it is getting hotter.
I wondered about that. Now, a friend of mine told me that, maybe it would be a neat idea to get into remote viewing, and I thought about it, and I got all kinds of neat information here, and I'm just wondering what remote viewers there have been out there that are blind. If anyone has tried it, maybe I should be the first, but I'm kind of scared, George. It feels like it might be kind of creepy. I'm not sure.
Creepy? You're already disappearing in front of your wife.
How creepy can you get? Exactly. But I've just wondered, have you ever had any remote viewing?
The next time I talk to one of our remote viewers, I'll ask them that question.
All right, because I'm sort of interested in getting on with this. But, what do you do when you have an out-of-body experience if you're a blind person? Can you all of a sudden see? Or,
I don't know.
Do you hear a lot of stuff? Yikes, let me just get back in here.
You're going to have to try and come back and report to us.
Well, I will be out here, and I will report. And, George, thank you for taking the time to talk to me. You're just one of the highlights of my life.
By the way, are you a father by any chance? Ever been?
No, not yet, actually.
Father's Day on Sunday.
Well, thank you. No, but I have three lovely stepdaughters. So
then you're a father. Absolutely. All right, take care.
Thank you, George.
That's right. Happy Father's Day to all fathers out there. Don't forget a little call to your dad or take him out to dinner or lunch or brunch or something like that. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the show. Hi there.
Hey, George. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
I'm wondering if anyone has brought up the history of Friday the 13th on the show this evening.
Yes, a little bit. And then the last time we had Friday the 13th, we talked a little bit about that, too, about the slaughter of Christians and the Templars by Charlemagne.
Ah, okay. So, yeah, 1307. I hadn't heard it this evening, so...
A rotten day for them, I guess.
A rotten day for them, indeed. So I was going to add a little bit of historical background to...
Isn't it interesting, though, how they then equate it with a day of bad luck?
Yeah.
It just follows through.
Exactly. It isn't really a day of bad luck. It's, as your guests have pointed out, it's a day of possibilities. It's a historical incident. But that's really all. It's interesting how it's morphed. If I can ask one other question, I can take my call off the line.
Sure.
And something I didn't get a chance to ask when Ann Serling was on. Do you have any knowledge or any experience of two things? Rod Serling's sort of, I just heard whispers of it, famous rebellious nature, or I think more of a stance against being controlled too much by the sponsors.
He was an extremely tough guy when it came to control. He wanted editorial control. He wanted production control. And he hated to be pushed by sponsors. Matter of fact, in one Twilight Zone, he mentions the Chrysler Building. And the sponsor was Ford, so they took the name of the Chrysler Building out of the script. He went absolutely ballistic.
Wow.
So he was that way.
Great, great, great info. I really appreciate that. And I appreciate all the work you're doing, George. I really do.
Okay, you're welcome. And by the way, I sent my mother a couple days ago a small book by an author by the name of Robert Munsch. And she got it today, and she read it. And she apparently had sent this book out to her friends and some of her family members years ago. She didn't expect to get it from me. And I'm just going to tell you, with Father's Day coming up, it could be your father, it could be your mother. Look for a little book called Love You Forever and just give it to them. You read it first, and if you don't cry a little bit, there's something wrong with you. I'll be back in a moment. Well, it's time for our traditional shout-out. Those of you listening on your favorite radio stations across North America, hello to you. StringLink members, thank you for everything you do in the support of Coast to Coast AM and XM Satellite. And then the various chat rooms, NighthawkZone.com, folks, thank you. And great, great work yesterday when we had William Shatner on Bad Boy and Company there. Imaginative Worlds, Into Infinity, Frog Forum, Above Top Secrets, the Sorcery IRC, Pal Talk, the MySpace groups out there, National Radio Club, all of you who continue to push and support Coast to Coast, the millions of you all around the universe. Well, at the end of the show tonight, we're going to have a little excerpt of Richard C. Hoagland's speech before the Libertarian Convention as he talked about things in space. And if we can keep Richard awake, we're going to get him on for a few minutes right before that speech, because the shuttle's going to land at 11:15 a.m. Eastern time Saturday morning. Let's have Richard comment a little bit about that, too. So we'll keep pushing him. Drink coffee, Richard, or caffeine, or whatever you need to do to stay awake. Let's go to the phones. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us. Hello there.
Hey, what's going on?
Life is good. How about you?
Well, I'm trying to make it home with no gas in the tank. Other than that, I'm good. Yeah, earlier, at the beginning, you had the Twilight Zone people on. And I heard you talking about it yesterday, and just bearing in mind, I'm like, okay, I guess everybody forgot about Tales from the Dark Side.
That's a good point.
Do you remember that?
Yep.
Well, I remember it also, and quite frankly, I think it was a little better, more up-to-date. I take that back, being that Twilight Zone is, I guess, the precursor to it.
I'll take that back. Yeah, that's the classic. That's the classic.
I take that back, all right. But my favorite was this one where I think it's called Abiyoyo. I don't know if you've seen that one. Indian myth that people didn't believe in. You say his name so many times, and then he's going to come in and break your neck. there was a kid that didn't believe it, and I think he got his neck broke. Him or his mother.
I remember that.
Yeah. And I just wanted to see if you or anybody else out there can remember that, because nobody has mentioned it in a long time.
Good point. Hey, by the way, do you want 5 free books if you can get this question right?
I sure do.
I get these books from all our guests, and I don't want to throw them away, so I'd rather give them to you.
Can I tell you the truth? I was hoping you would ask me that.
Really? Well, let's see now. All right, so you need to tell me the name of the movie. I'm going to give you this line. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
A little drum roll. Nope. Walking the mile.
The Green Mile.
You got it. Perfect. Uh-huh. Right off the bat. Wasn't that a great movie?
Oh, man, I loved it.
One of the best.
And on a sad note, though, now that you gave me that idea there, on a sad note, on the news, I think it was Oklahoma where those 2 children were murdered.
Yes.
That brought me to mind of that.
Me too. I was talking to Tom about that. I said it reminds me just like that movie. I'm going to put you on hold so we can get your address and get these books out to you. You there?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. There you go. All right, let's go west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there. Good morning.
Hi, is this you, George?
It sure is.
Oh, hi. I've been trying to get this darn number, and some operator gets on and cuts me off, and I can't get her,
You made it. Where are you calling from?
In Las Vegas.
Oh, that's you.
That's me. I want to ask you something. There's a tune that was played the third one back. It was kind of Mexican-like or something. I don't know, but it was really...
We played it tonight?
Yes.
You're going to have to hum it for me in order for me to know what it was.
Oh, I don't think I can.
What do you mean the third one? What time did it come up?
12:10.
12:10? It just came up then.
Yeah.
20 minutes ago.
Yeah. Beautiful. I think it's Mexican. It's sort of a twangy Mexican sound.
That was by ABBA, I think, if that's the time you heard, called Dancing Queen.
That might have been.
Do you know how to sing it? I'm probably not, huh? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What are you doing? It's a talk show. You got to talk.
I got to talk. Well, I'm talking. I'm listening to you, and I was thinking of something. You talking about angels a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about that, huh?
Well, if that's what you want to talk about.
Well, not necessarily, except that. I think I told you this before one time, driving through the hill country in Texas. So I was driving about 85 miles an hour, and my husband was sleeping with a little poodle up on his stomach. And something happened. I went to sleep. But it was like a roller coaster. There was nobody coming. I could swear to that. And no crossroads. It's just a little narrow Texas road. And I went down in a big ravine, like around a little car, and up in front of them, and there was nobody in that car.
Well, maybe they fell out.
They were driving that car, but I was going 85 miles an hour, and it was unbelievable. Nobody there, and I was afraid to tell my husband. I went down in that big ditch and up in front of it, and just scared me to death when I realized what happened, but I saw nobody in that car. That was an angel saving me from...
Sure is. They wanted you around for a reason.
I guess.
Maybe to make me Thanksgiving dinner.
Okay.
Should I come to Las Vegas for Thanksgiving?
Yeah, try.
I know I stiffed you last time. I didn't show up, did I?
Well, maybe if I get the wheels on this car by then.
What do you mean, wheels on the car? You don't have any wheels on your car?
No, I thought you told me Tommy didn't have wheels.
Oh, Tommy. Well, no, that's true. Tommy is carless right now. Okay, thanks.
Okay, listen.
What?
There's last night. No, not before last. You had that guy about the pyramids?
Yeah.
My husband went out and bought that book for me the next day. It's most interesting. I'm going to make 3 pyramids, one for my dog, one for my husband, and one for me.
And just keep them around.
Yeah. Hang it over our heads when we sleep.
I love pyramid stories.
I bought one time. I don't know what happened to it. We moved and my pyramid got lost.
Maybe somebody stole it.
Maybe so.
All right.
I believe in that.
See ya.
Okay, bye.
Bye. East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Listen, I wanted to make a comment about the Rod Serling episode in your show.
Sure.
I live in Fayetteville, North Carolina, right next to Fort Bragg. And, it'd be interesting to make a comparison between Rod Serling, who served in the military World War II. He was in combat.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys are going to be coming back or are back from Iraq and Afghanistan. It took him, 10 or 15 years before he finally got some of these shows on the air?
Yes.
If in a relative amount of time, some of these guys might become producers or writers, it'd be interesting to kind of think about what kind of stories that they could bring up in a Twilight Zone type of show that we really haven't even thought of yet.
Because the war had a profound effect on him.
It did. From what little I've read, history of some of the airborne forces, I believe he was in an airborne unit. He was a pretty tough character.
Yes.
He made quite a few episodes that dealt with, man's dealing with actions in war. So that was a good war. Iraq and Afghanistan are good for our side, according to what we, normally would believe. But it'd be interesting to see what those guys would come up with. It is part of the biblical area. There's a lot of, a lot of facets of that.
There could be some inspiration for them there.
Interesting. I thought, the things he went through and what he came up with, what will we be seeing in the year 2015 or maybe even a little earlier?
That's interesting that you would even bring that up. Very good. Very astute of you. Let's go to the wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Hello?
Hello?
Yep, go ahead.
Is this George Norrie?
I hope so.
George, I want to thank you about that essay about Soldier Died Today. It was really, I'm a Vietnam veteran.
Oh, yeah, the one I read on Memorial Day, yeah.
For 2 hours, I just cried. It was tough to get through the night, but I did.
I'll do that, and I've got one on Veterans Day, and we do one on Christmas.
Can I ask you a Godfather trivia question?
Okay, let's see if I can get it right.
All right. In 1971, when Paramount Pictures was going to film The Godfather, Robert Evans did not want Al Pacino to play Michael Corleone. Do you know the actor that he wanted to play Michael?
Did he want De Niro?
No.
Hmm.
He's going to be way in the bottom, George, but this is the actor.
Is this a well-known actor?
At the time, he was.
Nicholson?
No.
I'm going to give up.
Ryan O'Neill. This is true. That's who Robert Evans wanted.
Ryan O'Neill, the guy who was in Peyton Place?
And Love Story. Teen Wolf Love Story. And remember Hallie McGraw was his co-star, and she was married to Robert Evans.
She
asked Robert Evans to put Ryan O'Neill, but Francis Ford Coppola said no.
No, but Pacino was perfect for it. Perfect for it. Okay, hey, thanks. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. Good morning. You're on Coast to Coast.
Good morning, George. Hey. I've just been waiting to hear an update on that water for gas thing. It sounded like when they ended the show, they were going to have you guys try it to see if it was for real or not.
They are installing it on Tom's car after he puts his wheels back on.
Okay.
And he's already cataloging his mileage now, and then they're going to put it on, and then he's going to give us a report on that, and then we're going to tell you what happened.
Okay. Yeah, because I've called their phone number, and you wait you know, a week nobody calls you back.
Oh, they're apparently very busy, but this thing is going. It was supposed to go in this week, but Tommy didn't have enough money to fill up his tank, so he and I argued for 2 hours about how to do this. I kid you not. This is what I told him to do. I said, fill up your tank until the gas pump stops, and then zero your trip meter. Drive as much as you want for a few days, 3 days, 4 days. Fill up your tank again until it stops. Take the amount of gallons that went in there, and then divide that into whatever the miles that you drove during that time period. That'll tell you how many miles per gallon you went. I went round and round with him on this, and he wouldn't understand it. And he said, no, that's not how it works. I'm just going to just start driving now. Finally, we're going to do it my way.
Well, yeah, the other thing to keep in mind there, too, is when that nozzle shuts off, make sure you're at the same rate of fuel going in there each time.
And the same pump.
Exactly. Because if you hold it down all the way, it's going to shut off. Or if you have it on its first setting, you'll get more fuel in there.
Yep.
Are they going to update that, you know, kind of besides the blog, because you don't know who's writing, but keep it posted then on your website?
Yeah, we'll do it on our website.
Good deal.
And I'm going to even bring Tom on, and we'll explain what we've done. We'll put it on. And look, if it shows the increase, we'll talk about it. If it shows a decrease, we'll talk about it. Whatever it is, we'll put it on.
Good deal. Good deal.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's all I got. Thank you.
All right. Next up, let's go to our first-time caller line. Good morning. You're on Coast to Coast.
Hello, George.
Yes. Take it away.
Yes, my name is Scott. I've been a long-time listener. Just hadn't been able to listen in the last few months, but I was just curious, and I'll ask my question. Hang up. What's the latest that you've heard on John Teeter? Thank you.
Well, Scott, the latest we've heard from John Teeter is that there is no John Teeter anymore, that he apparently went back. We did get a call. I did get a strange call from someone who said he was a time traveler and that they were watching John Teeter and that he was okay. But that was a weird phone call. But by and large, he disappeared a few years ago, and we haven't heard anything from him. I did interview the attorney for the family. There's a real John Teeter family out there, and apparently there's a real little John Teeter, a little kid. And the attorney is very above board and on the up and up, and he's based down in Florida. But one of the greatest, strangest stories I've ever heard. Somebody asked me, do you believe in it? And I simply said, I don't know. If you believe that in the future there will be time travel, whatever the future may be, and I do, then it's possible that they might have come back here. Let's go next to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Hey, take it away.
How are you doing today?
Good, good.
My name is Billy. I'm from Napa, Idaho. We talked about a year ago, and I have a good friend of mine that you know and that I know, and his name is Christian Wild.
Oh, yes. He was just on. I love the guy.
I'm sorry that I missed him. I talk to Christian about once a month on the phone. We have a long conversation. Just wanted to make a comment about his books and about all his research, and I understand it. You know, he's not a doctor, but he's done so much research on the stem cell research that it's just great reading, and it's, he's awesome. He's an awesome guy.
I agree with that. Not only is he awesome, he's a gentleman, and he's a great journalist.
Well, yeah, he is. I talked to you in for the first time about a year ago when Christian come on, and I'm the guy that had the 6th heart attack.
Okay.
You remember that or not.
How are you doing?
Well, I've had another heart attack. That makes number 7.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm still waiting, patiently waiting, and hopefully someday that I will get that treatment. I'm just waiting, you know, my turn.
Have you made the calls? You've made the calls and everything else?
Yeah, I've made the calls, and Christian has made some calls, and he's just a wonderful guy. He's just a great true friend.
Let's try to get everybody to speed this up, all right? Seven heart attacks is a lot.
It is. The last heart attack I had was about 3 weeks ago.
Did you go through bypass at all?
No, they're putting in stents. They're putting in the new medical stent.
Are they working for you?
The last one that they put in, they couldn't open one vein. That's just too far collapsed that they're just going to have to let it die.
Collapsed or clogged?
It's collapsed. Because of the clog previously to that one vein, they can't open it. So it's one of the main arteries running down the middle of my heart. So
okay.
I'm having a lot of difficulty as far as a lot of chest pain, and they're keeping me on nitro 24/7. So,
how old are you again?
I'm 52 now.
Yeah, that's young. That's young.
Yeah, it is. That it is. And this Tim Russert came up, you know, on tonight that he passed away.
That's scary, isn't it? 58 years. I mean, he's born the same year I was. That's scary.
Yeah, it is. It's very scary. But I wanted to ask you, the medication, it started with a T. You said that you...
Well, it's not a medication. It's a spice. It's turmeric, T-U-R-M-E-R-I-C, and it's curry.
Okay.
And
where do you buy this at?
Comes in. Well, you can get just Google it. Just go search it.
Okay.
I don't want to give out the name of the place I get it from.
I understand. You know.
But go ahead and if you want to send me a personal email, I'll send you a personal response back.
Okay, I'll definitely do that.
But it comes in a capsule form, and it greatly reduces inflammation, which could have been part of Tim Russert's problem.
You're right. Yeah, I read that article on him this evening, and it was quite big of a shock that he died so suddenly like that.
You got to enjoy every day. You know that?
Oh, that's true.
Every day.
That is so true. Okay, George, thank you for everything you do. I listen to your radio show religiously.
All right, my friend. You take care of yourself. I'll be back in a moment. Open lines continue on Coast to Coast AM.